oftentimes they provide an opportunity for us to become a leader in something. Sometimes a first can set the pattern for many things that follow. It's first, and it creates the potential that others must meet, and we can set the standard because it was first. Well, that's kind of how King Saul was, the first king of Israel. He had the opportunity to be first in line. He could set the standard. He could set the pattern for all of the other kings of Israel to follow because he was first. And the way he started out as king, it looked like he would set a very high standard indeed. For when Saul first became king, the scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God came upon Saul and it changed him and gave him a different heart. It also gave him some unique skills. For example, the scriptures tell us that after the Spirit came upon him, he joined with the prophets and he prophesied. There was something different about King Saul after the Spirit of God came upon him. And he had the potential of setting an extremely high standard as the first king of Israel. Sadly, that's not what happened. For as King Saul went on in his reign as the king, he continued to allow sin to creep into his life. And it continued to have a toehold and a foothold in his life. And the more he gave in to his sinful temptations, the less he knew of God. Until finally the scriptures tell us that God withdrew his spirit from King Saul, and an evil spirit took its place and tormented him. Tormented him, in fact, to the point where on numerous occasions he tried to kill David and even his own son Jonathan. King Saul's life ended in tragedy. He was in battle, and he was fighting against the enemy, and the enemy shot arrows towards him, and they hit King Saul, and he was about to die. And we find that occasion in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And I want to read just a couple of verses about the tragic end of King Saul. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And I'll start reading in verse number 3. And I'll just read a couple of verses. It says, "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor bearer, 'Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith.'" In other words, Saul asked his armor bearer to kill him. He didn't want to die at the hand of the enemy. "Lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on his sword and died. Tragic, tragic end that had such an outstanding beginning. King Saul, at the end of his life, in tragedy, kills himself. When at the start, he knew what it was like to walk in the power of the Spirit upon his life. But because he let sin take a toehold in his life, and he kept yielding to it, it destroyed him. Sadly, there are many Christians today following the exact same pattern of King Saul. They've started out well in their Christian life. Perhaps even you started out like King Saul did. You knew what it was like to have the power of God upon you. And you ministered and you knew God's power. And yet you have also, like Saul, let sin creep into your life until now you know nothing of the power and presence of the Spirit of God in your life. Your life is virtually bankrupt from a spiritual standpoint, and you're in spiritual decay today. I want to read to you the epitaph that God gave on King Saul. because it gives us a hint as to the kind of sin that crept into the life of Saul that brought about his downfall. That is also in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, but drop down to verse number 13. And if you have a Bible nearby, I would ask that you get it and follow along as I read these two verses. It's the last two verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 10. This is the epitaph that God gave of King Saul. It says, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." What a bitter end. God brought about the judgment on King Saul because of his disobedience against God's word. And these scriptures outline for us that very fact. And I would say to you today, my friend, that unless you and I repent and renounce of the sins of disobedience that brought about the destruction of King Saul, we will never know God's power in all of its fullness in our life. But if we will renounce of those sins, we will experience again that freshness, that outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us. Well, what sins did Saul commit that brought about his judgment at the hand of God? First, there was disobedience in regard to the command and direction of God for his life. Starting back early in the life of King Saul as the king, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 10 that Samuel had come to King Saul and had told him that God had chosen him to be the king of Israel. And he gave him some directions to follow in those first few weeks of his reign as the king. One of the directions that he gave to King Saul was for King Saul to go to a city called Gilgal. And he was to wait at Gilgal 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, Samuel said, "I will come. When I come, I will offer burnt offerings to the Lord, and then I will tell you what God wants for you to do as king." King Saul knew very clearly the direction of the Lord in his life. He knew it. When those 7 days passed, he had waited the 7 days. He looked for Samuel. Samuel wasn't there. In his haste and in his impatience, King Saul went and prepared a sacrifice for the Lord. And he sacrificed to the Lord. And no sooner had King Saul begun to offer that sacrifice than Samuel arrived on the scene. And Samuel accosted King Saul and said, "King Saul, what have you done? Did not I tell you to wait 7 days? And at the end of the 7 days, I would be there and I would offer the sacrifice? And I would inquire of the Lord, and I would tell you God's direction for you." And Saul knew and remembered the command that Samuel had given to him. And God judged Samuel. And on that occasion, Samuel did not offer burnt offerings for Saul, nor did he inquire of the Lord for him to find direction for Saul to follow. It's a very serious matter when you and I fail to follow the command of the Lord upon our lives. There's two different ways that I think the command and call of the Lord comes upon us. One of them is for what we might call an occupation. Some people would call it a position. Others might call it a calling. But God has a spot for you. He has a task for you that He wants you to fulfill. An occupation, if you will. That occupation might be right where you are right now. It might be as a minister for the Lord. It might be in some area that we sometimes call full-time Christian service. In other words, an occupation where our full-time energies are to the ministry of the gospel. I don't know what occupation God has in mind for you, but He has one. He has a spot for you. Are you there? Are you in the spot that God has called you to fill? Or have you, in your own impatience and in your desires to satisfy your own purposes, have you, like King Saul, set aside the command and the call of God upon your life and chosen another path? Saul was severely judged by Samuel for his disobedience. And we find it referred to in this epitaph that I read in 1 Chronicles. That was one of the contributing sins for which God judged King Saul. He disobeyed the command and the call of God in the direction of his life. There's a second area where I think Scripture speaks very clearly to us as God's children that should be a pattern and practice of our lives, and that is personal holiness. We don't like to talk much about personal holiness today in the Christian world because our lives are not holy. In fact, for most Christians today and for a vast majority of the believers in the Church of Jesus Christ today, their lives are holy only when they can read it in the concordance of their Bible. They know nothing of it in a personal, practical way. King Saul sinned against God and disobeyed in the direction of his life that God had chosen for him. That was the first sin for which God judged him. There's a second sin that God also judged King Saul for and mentions in this verse in 1 Chronicles. And that's the sin against the flesh. God hates human nature, sinful human nature. And that is pictured for us in the occurrence in the life of King Saul with the Amalekites. Perhaps you remember the Amalekites. They were the ones who came after the children of Israel as they traveled from Egypt into the Promised Land. And they came at the backside of the children of Israel and attacked the old and the feeble and the infirmed and the young who were at the tail end of the group. God said that He hated the Amalekites and would judge them and would make war with them from generation to generation. God sent Samuel to King Saul with the task to attack the Amalekites. Samuel came to King Saul and gave him the direction of God and said, Samuel said unto Saul, God has said to you, I set you up as king, and I have a special task I want you to fulfill, and that is I want you to go against the Amalekites and I want you to totally destroy them. Kill everything. Every person, every animal, every living thing. Utterly destroy it. Because it is my judgment upon them for the way they treated my children when they came out of Egypt. King Saul again knew very clearly his direction from God. What did King Saul do in response to this command of God? Well, we read, sadly, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and chapter 16, the campaign of Saul against the Amalekites. Did he utterly destroy every living thing? No, he did not. In fact, it tells us that he spared some of the best of the flocks to use them as sacrifices. Furthermore, he spared the king of the Amalekites. And then additionally, there were many of the Amalekites who fled during the battle that he did not pursue, who also escaped alive. Partial obedience. This is the second time now in the life of King Saul. Partial obedience. Samuel came to Saul, heard the bleating of the sheep, and told Saul that God was going to judge him for his disobedience. I want to read to you the judgment that God says against King Saul for his failure to utterly destroy the Amalekites. We find it in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Samuel is giving a response to Saul, and he says these words, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And the verse goes on to say that God was going to strip him of the kingship and position that he had over the children of Israel as the king because of his failure to obey. Now, I said at the beginning of this little part that this was a picture of Saul's disobedience in regard to the flesh. The Amalekites throughout Scripture are a picture of the flesh. They are an example. They are a portrayal of the flesh. The Scriptures say that God, stating regarding the Amalekites, that He would have contest with them from generation to generation. Do not the Scriptures describe that as the very picture that goes on in the life of the believer? In Galatians chapter 5, it says, "For the flesh strives against the Spirit, the one against the other." So that the Amalekites are a picture for us of our human nature. And notice what God said about that human nature. He wanted it utterly destroyed. He didn't make a peace pact with it. He didn't try and renew it and somehow make it better. No, He wanted to utterly destroy it. And that's what Scripture says is true about our human nature as well. We read in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God puts to death the flesh in order that we might live after the Spirit and controlled and empowered by the Spirit of God and not the flesh. So we see a second instance here of disobedience on the part of King Saul. The third occasion that God brings out here, the sin of King Saul, as it says, when he went to a familiar spirit. That was the time that led up to the battle in which King Saul died. He did not seek the Lord. He did not seek after the Lord with a whole heart. He did not know what to do then. So in an attempt to try and find direction, he went, to the Scriptures say, to the witch at Endor and sought direction from a familiar spirit. God had commanded very clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that His children were to have nothing to do with the abominable practices of the world. Included in that list are many common abominable practices of today. For example, we find in that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it talks about divination. Divination has to do with trying to come up with God's purpose and plan for events yet into the future, but you do it in a manner that does not consult God. Included in that kind of practice are such common occurrences today as tarot cards, tea leaves, Ouija boards, palm reading. Another popular one that many Christians get ensnared in is astrology and the reading of horoscopes. My friend, God calls it an abomination. It's of the devil. It is destructive. And God says, "I want you to worship me." Saul instead sought direction from the devil. God wants us to seek His face and to worship Him and to find direction at His hand. Well, what are some of the things that we can learn from these three events in the life of King Saul? Events for which God said He specifically took his life and judged them for these sins. The first thing we can see is God makes very clear for us His detest for disobedience. All too often, we take a very light view of disobedience against God. We call it fitting into the current society. We call it trying to adapt to a modern world. God calls it disobedience. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 how God feels about disobedience. It says it is better to obey than to sacrifice. And that rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry. So we find here very clearly portrayed for us, God hates disobedience. And oftentimes our obedience is of a partial nature, like was true of King Saul. In each of those instances, except the last one when he went to see the witch at Endor, in those first two instances, King Saul obeyed part of the command. And if you will read those sections in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel patted himself on the back and said, Samuel, I am great because look at what I have done. I obeyed part of the command. You see, my friend, partial obedience is whole rebellion. Partial obedience is whole rebellion. So we can learn very clearly and graphically from these examples and illustrations from the life of King Saul that God hates disobedience. We can also see very clearly, secondly, that God judges disobedience. Because we live currently in a time of God's grace and of God's mercy, we have a tendency to assume that because God has not struck us with lightning or brought some great plague upon us, that somehow God has changed His requirements. Sometimes also we believe that because we are Christians, that God has a new set of rules for us, and that the old rules are passed away, and we have this new set, and we can live in any fashion we want. Because after all, God is a God of grace, is He not? And God is a God of mercy, is He not? And that's true. God is a God of grace. God is a God of great mercy. God is patient. He is long-suffering. But don't let that mislead you to think that God is not also a God of judgment. Because the God who judged King Saul in the Old Testament for his disobedience is the same God today who looks down upon your disobedience and is grieved. Do you lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer? No, I would not say that that would happen to you as happened to King Saul, where God took His Spirit away. But you know, sin can have such a control and a grip upon our lives that we constantly quench the Holy Spirit of God, and so that His ministry in our lives is virtually non-existent. It's the same result. Our lives follow a pattern of sin and deception away from God. We do not know then the power and presence of God in our lives. God judges sin. And He judges disobedience. Well, what changes would these truths, or should these truths make in our lives then as believers? Well, the first change it should make in your life is to point out to you the sin in your life. The sin of disobedience against God. The Spirit of God has the responsibility of convicting man of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And He has today, as you have tuned into this broadcast, the Spirit of God has convicted you of sin in your life. Maybe it's the same kind of sin that King Saul committed. Maybe it's other sin. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God has pointed out in your life where you have sinned against God and where it has grieved the Spirit of God. Your responsibility today, my friend, is to yield to the ministry of the Spirit of God in your life. Confess that sin. Repent of that sin. Renounce that sin. Turn from it under the power and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life. If you will follow that prescription, you will begin to experience spiritual revival and renewal in your life today.